Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 2:44 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is December 1st, and the Nasdaq was down again in here today, 92 points, but it had opened higher and was up in excess of a percent in early trading, and then gave it up throughout most of the day. And it was led lower by Moderna. So this volatility we continue to see in the vaccine producers is weighing on the stock market, because they've got big market caps now, but then they're also heavily watched. So there is obviously still a lot of uncertainty about the Omicron variant, and the way that the news is being reported, focusing on sound bites rather than factoids, would, I think, be a contributing factor here. But I think the bigger picture is that the Federal Reserve came out yesterday and said that they're going to taper more aggressively. And against that background, you would think that if they were going to taper more aggressively, then there would be the potential that interest rates would rise, but people are starting to buy the bonds. So this is rather interesting. It's because what it is in fact suggesting is that people anticipate that we're going to have more of a deflationary outcome. So the 10-year yield is now back below the trend mean, and it reversed an earlier advance and continues to contract. So what we're starting to see now is that the yield curve spread is contracting. It's broken down below the 100 basis point level. We're down to about 86 basis points. And the pace of the decline would appear to be picking up. So, generally speaking, a negative reading for this spread is a very reliable lead indicator for future trouble in the stock market, because it's a lead indicator for recessions. It's a lead indicator with a long tail. So, generally what happens is, by the time it initially starts to become inverted, you get a wobble in the market. And then subsequently, about between anything from 6 to 18 months later, you start to get a recession. Then the central banks start to really move, and they cut interest rates aggressively, and then you get a wide spread. By the time they've reacted, then usually the stock market has pulled back a lot, and it's usually when the spread is cruising through 150 basis points that you get the worst pressure in the stock market. So this is a very different type of environment, because it looks rather difficult for central banks to raise rates. And they think, then I think that there is a hard window here. Because if they decide to raise rates, how high would they potentially be able to go? I think it's extremely unlikely they're going to get back to 2.5%. So then how high might they go? Because one thing we've certainly seen is that interest rates have peaked at successively lower rates on every occasion, and that the intervals between the peaks have got longer, particularly over this very long interval where they couldn't raise rates at all between 2008 and early or late 2015. So I suspect that the upper bound for rates is potentially anything from about 50 basis points to 1%. And after that, we'll have an inverted yield curve. We'll have a lot of pressure coming through from unprofitable businesses, zombie corporations, high yield spreads. And high yield spreads are starting to move. So this isn't exactly as benign an environment right now as we've had for most of the last year, because the high yield spread had been completely inert for just about all of this year, and now it is breaking higher. So we're due some consolidation, and we're getting some consolidation. And one thing that I thought was interesting today is that the semiconductors were among the best performers in the stock market today, but they were not able to sustain the rally. So they're lagging on the downside, but they're not rising. And then we can think about some of the shares that did particularly well yesterday, because almost every share was in negative territory yesterday, but Apple was in positive territory, and it was on the cusp of pushing on to new high ground again in here today. But it's looking tired in the short term. And one thing that has been the hallmark of Apple's trend has been that upside breaks have failed. So it is looking increasingly likely that Apple will come back down and test the region of the trend mean, which by the time it gets down there might be somewhere in the mid 140s. So there's probably $20 of risk in the short term. Then of course the big question is, will it continue to hold this advance overall? I think really what's happening here is very little to do with the virus and much more to do with bond yields. And there's certainly there's greater risk of deflation right now than inflation. And we've had a significant contraction in oil prices. Now, oil was in positive territory in here today, and up about $2 would generally be considered to be a reasonably big advance. And I must bite my tongue, because oil is now in negative territory. It was in positive territory before I started recording, or at least when I was paying attention to it the last time I looked at it. So we've had a significant decline over the last 4 hours. And when we start to think about what's going on, well, oil prices are coming back for a number of reasons. But the one that people don't want to think about is deflationary forces. And the potential is that this variant is going to have a knock-on effect, particularly in the emerging markets. Because if we are going to see... one thing that is less discussed is that the various vaccines lose efficacy after about 6 months. So that means lots of people need to get booster shots. And the people who raced out to get their initial vaccine will be the ones that are most likely to go off and get a booster shot. Those who refused to get vaccinated are least likely to now get vaccinated because they feel like that they don't have a reason to. But the one thing that we are seeing with the various iterations of the coronavirus is that it is becoming progressively more transmissible. So the logical conclusion is that it's becoming easier and easier to contract. And that means that the people who are not vaccinated are going to have a harder time. And of course, then those that have got the comorbidities are going to be at a greater risk. So news today, for example, that the number of cases in South Africa has doubled in 24 hours is obviously something that is being priced into the market. And this is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend for oil prices. So there is certainly the potential that we're going to have additional downside. Then on the other side of the spectrum, we have lumber prices. So they had surged higher in the early part of this year, then collapsed, and now they're starting to surge again. And this increasingly inclement weather in British Columbia is cutting out some of the supply from that province. So that's weighing on the ability of the market to balance out. So we're getting a supply and elasticity rally, and prices were limit up in here today. And then we can think about home builders, because the home building sector remains really quite firm. And a number of the home builders are right in the region of their peaks, and the ETF is pushing up out of its range and found support in the region of the upper side of the underlying range in here today. So certainly there is scope for the home builders to do somewhat better, but of course it will need to hold the breakout if that's going to be the case. Then we had a somewhat firmer tone today in Hong Kong, but again, it's not really enough to instill confidence. There's nothing in the way of big upward dynamics. And of course, China is talking about shutting down the conduit for Chinese companies to list ADRs in the USA, so they get a backdoor listing. And the fact that Didi was able to do that with during the time when the Chinese regulators were on vacation, well, that pretty much killed off the route for everybody else. So China is going to increasingly make it difficult for companies to go overseas. But of course, it's also going to have a knock-on effect in the ability of private companies to source international capital, because it's going to close off one of the routes for that international capital to eventually get an exit. Of course, when we think about the cryptocurrency sector, well, Ethereum and Bitcoin were in positive territory for most of the day and then gave it up about a half an hour before the close. And Ethereum prices are down about 50 and had got right up to test the upper side of the range. And we've seen the NFT sector explode with interest over the course of the last 6 months. And it makes perfect sense that there's going to be non-fungible tokens created for a number of Chinese private enterprises, and Chinese people won't be able to invest in them because there's a ban on any kind of crypto trading. The rest of the world will be able to bet on those kinds of tokens, and they won't have ownership of them, so then they can't be regulated, but they will get to punt around in the outlook for Chinese shares. So I think that's probably the next iteration of what we see with non-fungible tokens, that people will start to use them as a vehicle for punting in the stock market, and particularly for those companies that are still privately held and are not rushing out to gain a listing. So it would be quite easy to create a non-fungible token to trade the shares of SpaceX, for example. It's not necessary that one would have ownership, but rather they would just simply trade hands based upon whether people have a positive or negative outlook, or based upon just how much interest there is in the market for any given name. And of course, this is extraordinarily bubbly activity, and it's the kind of activity you see during a mania, because crowds are extraordinarily tolerant of contradiction. So we're in a very contradictory market. And one of the things that happens in contradictory markets is that central banks get scared and then they start to raise interest rates. Well, potentially the Federal Reserve is starting to talk like that. Now, we're a long way from raising interest rates, but the bigger question here is that is the economy and the market more generally, is it capable of surviving without the liquidity as a fuel? So the potential for tapering is obviously something that needs to be paid attention to. And particularly the fact that they're tapering in advance of the latest iteration of the coronavirus starting to take hold. So obviously this is a set of uncertain circumstances that people aren't accustomed to. And then we can also see that some currencies are really in trouble, and the Turkish lira has halved in value this year, and the Turkish Central Bank began to intervene in here today. So it was somewhat effective. And usually, what happens, at least in the number of times that I've seen this happen over the last 20 years, is that usually the first intervention doesn't work. But once central banks have committed to a course of action, they will keep intervening until they get the desired effect. So it's quite likely that the lira will now move to another new low, and that will encourage the central bank to intervene again. But the one big, I think, difference that we have with Turkey relative to everywhere else is that Erdogan thinks that you can control inflation by cutting interest rates. And the market is disabusing him or at least trying to disabuse him of that view. So Turkey has cut interest rates by 400 basis points in the last few months, and in that time the currency has halved. So, or perhaps not halved in the last 3 months, but not that far off it either. So now the big question is, are they going to come back from talking about cutting interest rates and instead start to raise them? And it's important because Turkey is now a major producer of gold, and the central bank is buying the gold. And so far, we don't have any real pressure on the US dollar bonds for Turkey, so it's not something that needs to be worried about in the short term. But if Turkey's central bank runs out of money, then they will have to sell some of their gold reserves. So when we look at why gold hasn't been responding, well, what's going on in Turkey may in fact be a partial reason why. But then, of course, we also have this reticence to bet on gold when we have more of a deflationary outcome starting to emerge. Of course, there's still shortages, and there's still upward pressure on wages. And these are factors that have found their way into the public psychology. So people are starting to purchase more. One thing, though, that I thought was rather interesting is that we have a really high degree of commonality right now in the payments processors. So Visa is trending downwards. And Visa doesn't really trend downwards. Now, obviously, it had the big pop on the upside in 2018 and 19, and then it really declined quickly in 2020, and then recovered really admirably. But it's been pulling back in a violent manner now for the last couple of months. And it's not alone. So MasterCard is also pulling back. And the smaller companies aren't doing better. So SoFi, which is one of these fintech companies and named a stadium after itself in Los Angeles, hasn't really gone anywhere since it IPO'd, and it's been down rather heavily in the last 3 days. So the payment processors are really underperforming, and those are the ones that would be considered to be the leaders in the sector, those that are really struggling to retain market share, like Global Payments, have been trending lower for a while, and it's the worst performing share in the S&P 500 this year. And all of this is occurring in an environment where the delinquency rate has not been picking up. So delinquencies as a percentage of all loans is still only below about 5%, and it's been trending down now for a while, but it was over 10% in 2010. So there's certainly something else going on here, and a large part of it, and it's not like there isn't demand for credit card accounts either. So there's demand for credit, and people are not defaulting, but yet we're seeing these shares really starting to roll over. And companies like Visa and MasterCard, they are profitable businesses. So the success of the cryptocurrency world is starting to take a toll on some of these payment processors. And the bigger question then is, how long is that going to persist, or whether this is in fact a trend that has persistence, because they're an integral part of the financial system. The one thing that's, I think, relevant on this occasion is that banks have been resilient, and the US banking system, well, they're not a dominant portion of the mortgage writing business anymore. They're much more interested in the commercial lending portion of the market, and they're earning a lot of their money from different portions of the market today than they did before the credit crisis. So I think it's important to not only monitor the banking sector, but to pay attention to the fact that these payment processors are not doing well. And then the home building sector is doing fine, but some of the and I bought a house this year, so I found it rather interesting that Rocket Mortgages, their customer service was appallingly bad, and I didn't end up borrowing from them. And I can and you can see then from the share price that it's been going down in a significant manner. One thing that I find also rather interesting is certainly as we head towards winter, I was looking at potentially buying a backup generator. And I called Generac, which are one of the biggest providers. They didn't respond, so I called back 3 weeks or a month later. They phoned me back in a few days, and they said, "Well, before we send out anyone to do a home survey, we just need to let you know that the generator is going to cost between $12,000 and $15,000, and that it will not be available for installation until September." So that obviously had me having second thoughts, because my whole reason for installing it in the first place was to provide against a power outage in the winter. So I decided to look at the share. Well, that's an awfully big upside failure in the last month, and now it has come straight back down to test the lower side of the range. Now, the share went from 100 in the depths of the sell-off in 2020 to 500, and now we're at 400. And I think a lot of people are going to be wondering, well, if I'm going to spend $15,000 on a backup generator, wouldn't I be better off just putting on solar panels and putting in a battery? So there's obviously a question that's got to be going in around in people's minds. Has the significant increase in the price of generators and the long lead times, is it beginning to destroy demand? And will that help to support demand for solar panels? And certainly Sunrun is extremely interest rate sensitive, but interest rates aren't rising. The solar sector has pulled back as well. Now, a good part of the reason why there's difficulty in the solar sector is because of the availability of components, and particularly polysilicon. So there are other factors that are in play here. But one thing I think is particularly relevant is that these payment processors are declining and trending downwards, and they thrive on liquidity provision. So with high yield spreads starting to rise, with people starting to worry about the knock-on effect from the coronavirus, and also from the Federal Reserve starting to tighten up policy, well, we haven't had a good size pullback in the stock market for a while, and it is looking increasingly likely that we're heading in that direction. And the S&P 500, it hasn't quite unwound its short-term overbought condition yet, and it's still holding the 4,500 level, so it could quite easily still find support in the region of the 100-day moving average, and this trend could still remain consistent. But we're only 38 points away from that area, so it really is for the bulls to prove and to get about starting to support these markets. But I suspect that until we get a catalyst from central banks to say that they're going to stop tapering and that they're going to provide liquidity as needed, well, then we're likely to continue to see some selling pressure coming through in these markets. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.